You have probably heard about the infamous Mark of the Beast and the ominous number
999.
Where did it come from? Why is it so dangerous, and how do you avoid getting it? In fact,
what is this?
How do you know you don't
have
it now?
In the book of Revelation,
what is this mark of the beast?
Strange significance and fascination with the number
9.
That's coming up next.
Taking the mark of the beast.
9 times 9 is 81.
Yeah.
The mark of the beast.
Psychodreamcast. It's thinking.
This week in your parents' basement, for Sega's The Dream Timber, we are playing the video game prequel to Uber and Lyft. From 2000, we're playing Crazy Taxi, developed by Hitmaker and Sega, for the Dreamcast and the arcade. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the crazy driver that can't get enough sweet tricks for extra tips. It's Huell Hauser.
If Gina could be described in two words, without a doubt, those words would be cool and sexy.
Whoa.
Oh, boy. And our other co-host, he's going to be real honest with you right now. He loves Bad Religion and The Offspring. It's Todd Brisket.
True. Well, you know how we do this thing live, and I will say that my bit was stolen up top, so I'm just going to read it anyway. Hey, guys, I'm more familiar with the modern remake, Nutty Uber.
So we're now stealing bits from our own show.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, I mean, we do this thing live. We don't correspond at all before our shows.
So we get other shows stealing our bits, so we got to steal our own bits first before they can steal them.
Yes, other shows might circulate like an agenda ahead of time, but we
yeah, and other shows we, other shows might have hosts that read that agenda before we start.
You know, a live natural reaction is better for all parties. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Play, or iTunes. And when you do, be sure to give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ybbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. Also, if you want to support the show, you can find our Amazon click-through link on the YPB homepage, ybbpodcast.com. The homepage is also where you can find our archive, which is accessible by clicking the button on the top of the page. Maybe pick up your own VMU this month. Huell, what does that stand for?
Visual Memory Unit.
Yes. Yes. This week's game is Crazy Taxi. Released in 1999 in the arcades and in 2000 for the Dreamcast, Crazy Taxi is a twist on the classic sort of racing games. Instead of trying to beat other folks in a race like Mario Kart or speeding through checkpoints to extend your playtime like in Rad Racer, you're picking up riders and dropping them off for cash. Sweet, sexy, dirty cash. You start with a set amount of time, and that time is extended with good driving. As the game goes on, the dollar value is increased, but it's also harder to find clients. Now, I played the hell out of this game as a youth. Huell, do you have any experience with them Crazy Taxis, though?
Thank you for throwing to me first, even though I told you my throat was destroyed. No, I mean, I think I played it in the arcade a few times. I mean, it's a very arcadey game. You get the time limit and all that, and you're zooming around. But I'd never played the console version, which is
a direct arcade port.
Direct arcade port. I mean, they put in a few more modes, like a set time and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. But no, it's my first time playing it. I mean, the concept has been ripped off over and over again since then, mm-hmm. I think. I mean, there's even the Simpsons version and all that kind of stuff, but...
Yes.
I
think the Simpsons... It's Simpsons Road Rage, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
And that is the most famous copy, and it's such a direct copy that they actually had to shell out some money to Sega.
Like, yeah, you gotta think.
Yeah, Sega sued them, and they settled out of court.
Okay, this is the exact same game.
Yes, yes.
But I mean, yeah, it's fun. It's fun. It's a fun romp for a little bit. I couldn't see sinking too much time into this, but yeah, I think they did what they could to try to expand out the console version. But is there only one map? Am I wrong about that?
There's one map in the arcade.
It's one city.
Okay. One city. Mm-hmm. And in the Dreamcast version, they added a Dreamcast city.
So this is the one where there's arcade mode, and then you can also do, I think they call it, hang on one second, original mode. So this must be the new course for the Sega's Dreamcast. Okay, so there's two maps. Yeah.
Which two maps?
I feel like they could have done a little more. But I don't know, maybe Crazy Taxi 2 adds a lot more to it. But as a arcade port, I mean, I guess it's all they could really do. Yeah, you got four different drivers to pick from. I guess that's fun.
Sure. They each have their own stats and personalities.
Yeah, a bunch of. I mean, they're all basically. I mean, I guess they have different cars too. But
yeah, I mean, you got Axel. Yeah. He's the white guy.
Uh huh. Uh-huh.
He has a car. All these taxis are different models of taxis, and they're all convertibles, as I recall.
Yes, they are all convertibles,
so that the people can hop in and out easily.
One thing I would like to say right off the bat, the cover of the game is presumably Axel,
yes,
a whited man with green hair in a convertible.
He is
crashing
whited.
Into. He's not.
He is enwhitened. Yes,
enwhitened man, crashing into a completely full shopping cart with food and milk spewing about, with a very happy young lady in the back, just thrilled at the erratic driving.
Sure. We'll get to that in a second about the thrilling nature of these rides. But yeah.
But I mean, the cover just tells you everything you need to know.
That's all you need. That is all you need to know.
This is everything right here.
Delightful cover.
It puts the crazy in crazy text.
So in addition to Axel, the white guy, you also have BD Joe, who is the black guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he drives his car. And you have Gina, the strong lady.
The woman, yes.
The woman. And then you have Gus, who is a balding...
An older white.
Older man.
It's the back sack of the group.
Yeah. And each of their cars handles differently. Like, Axel is the well-rounded, you know, acceleration and turning and braking. Everything's well-balanced. Gus has the slow to start, but top speed kind of guy. You know, they're all balanced. You know, your usual Mario Karts.
Yeah. The Wario, yeah.
He's the Wario. Gus is Wario, yes.
Axel's your Axel's Mario.
Axel's the Mario.
Gina's probably, yes. I don't know, a Toad.
I think BD Joe might be the Toad. And okay. Gina might be...
Is she Peach by default?
Maybe a Peach, yeah.
See the manual runs down the profiles and all sorts of things you'd want to know about these drivers, except their driving stats, which confused me. I guess that's in the game selection screen. They might show you those, but why they're not in the manual, I do not know.
Mm. Yeah, I'm looking at some of these images, and it's troublesome that Gus just leaves his shirt unbuttoned in this image I'm looking.
Are you deeply offended?
Well, so does Axel. Axel's showing off his 8-pack.
Yeah, but, man. You know, when you got abs like that, you gotta show them off.
Hell,
you can't. Yeah, you can't. You know, button up those bad boys.
Don't cover them up.
Yeah.
God created them to be seen.
Don't do what Ricochet did at SummerSlam and wear a full bodysuit.
This is another game where TV Tropes has like all of the info on it. Wikipedia does not, and it even has the license plates for each of these characters.
Yes, that is in the manual.
Oh, they must have just taken it straight from the manual then. Gina's.
Or they could have played the game and looked at it.
I hope they cited their sources.
No, they did not say that this is all in the manual.
By the way, the source for our episodes is tvtropes.com.
Mm-hmm. It's actually tvtropes.org. But
oh, sorry, tvtropes.org.
And Sega's
full credit to tvtropes.org.
My other source is Sega's The Dreamcast's Crazy Taxi, the video game.
Ah, Okay.
Yes. Those are our two sources. Yeah, I Huel, I did play the second game as well, and in that one, you are mostly just driving around the Big Apple, as they call it.
Yeah, I guess this one's
New York's New York.
This one's in Fran Frisco, it seems.
Yes.
San Fran Frisco, yeah. As they call it. Hey, as the locals call it, San Fran or Frisco. That's how they call it there.
The locals all call it.
They love to call it San Fran and or Frisco.
Slash Frisco.
Mm-hmm.
And as I call it, I just combined the two just to make them happy because they like San Fran Frisco. That's what I call it.
California's the Frisco.
Yes.
I'm going to run that into the ground.
Well, and also
very close to San Fran and or Frisco is very close to Sacramento, the capital.
Mentos. That's where Mentos were invented, right?
Well, the second game, because it's a new location, has four new drivers. But you can't, it's just the one, I think it's like two different kind of modes in New York, and that's it. And that makes sense because they shoved it out like 1 year after the first game. So.
Right.
It's not much of an enhancement. Basically just another cash grab. And third game's the same way.
There's a third game? Disappointing.
Yes, there are many games in the series that I did not realize.
Only knew of the number one and the number two. I didn't know the number three.
If they're not putting much effort into making new cities, I mean, these got to be real easy to crank out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got the engine.
You just
got
to license new Offspring songs. That's the biggest hurdle.
Yeah. Or Offspring and or other mall punk bands you've never heard of.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. They had Crazy Taxi, Catch a Ride, which is a GBA version.
Is that based on the J.D. Salinger joint?
Catch a Ride? Yes.
No, it's not Catcher's Rye.
Catch a Ride. Okay.
Yes, Catch a Ride, not Catcher's Rye. And then Crazy Taxi, Fair Wars, which is a PSP version. Then Crazy Taxi City Rush, which is a 2014 game, which is a mission-based runner, similar in concept to Temple Run. Hmm. So that's kind of weird. It's basically just Temple Run with Crazy Taxi stamped on. And I was going to mention this in the Where Is It Now, but a game I need to check out, Crazy Taxi Tycoon, which is an idle clicker.
That sounds fun. Really? For me, yes. Sorry for sounding like sarcastic Huel there, but for me, that sounds fun, yes.
First of all.
I was actually disappointed. It is only for phones. It is not available on Steam or PC.
Damn, so. Can't get those achieves. Can't get those chivies.
Boo.
No. Just got a tip-tap-a-roo on your phone when you get a chance.
Just tap it.
Get a little tap. Tap-a-roo.
A little tap while you pinch.
Yeah, it's good advice from either Carl Weathers or Billy D. Williams. It's one of them.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
Oof. Not Mr. T, of course.
Well, no. It's just Carl Weathers and Billy D. Williams that I mix up.
Yeah, those are the only two.
Anyway, going back to the cover, the lady on the front is ecstatic that you are crashing into this shopping cart, and that plays into the game itself, which is
if you closely clip
cars or do jumps when you're delivering people who are not by the way, no seatbelts in this game. If you do that while you're delivering passengers to their locations, you get bonus money. Like every time you clip by a car, you get a bonus 50 cents.
Yeah, that is canon to the game, this cover. Like I said, everything you need to know about the game is on this cover. So yeah, it's built in where the crazier you drive without really crashing, they don't seem to like crashing as much, but like narrowly missing cars or like jumping or doing crazy spins, They give you tips for your crazy driving.
Yes, if you,
which does not seem, it seems counterproductive.
It does. You know, when I take taxis, I prefer to be as safe as possible. You know, hey, I give a tip if they go slow and relax. Like, hey, boy, yeah, let's. I don't need to, weaving through all this traffic is going to save us 10 seconds when I get to the airport. But hey, I'll give you a tip if you go slow and take it easy so I can take a nap back here.
Todd's got nothing but time.
The counter resets, the tip counter resets if you, like, touch another car or if you hit a wall or anything like that. But otherwise, like, that's the way that you rack up the money in this game, because, like, that is how you increase your fare way more than, like, dropping people off. Like, I think my record is, like, I could string, like, 14 or 15 rides.
That sounds about right for me, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, the problem is, like, you start out with, like, 90 seconds roughly to play with. I think it's 90 seconds. But you just lose, like, 4 or 5 seconds in the transition between riders, like, every time.
Sure. You should park your car as close to the passenger as you can without scaring them away, so that they take less time to run into your car and hop in.
Yes.
And another issue with this game that I have that kind of eats your time is that these cars take so long to stop. Like, you'd slam all those brakes and they're just cruising and not stopping.
There is a trick to that, which is counterintuitive, but you kind of have to do like a curving brake thing, like a curving slide thing. And you do that by switching. Like, you slam on brake, and I think you switch from drive to reverse.
That'll break your tranny.
Yeah. Hey, yeah,
you're not allowed to say that.
The mechanics of this game are just, like, completely different from, like, most driving games. So it does take, like, a bit of time to get used to.
This is no kart racer.
No.
This is a no kart racer.
It's a hyper-realistic driving simulator.
Yeah.
where you have a brake pedal, a gas pedal, which are the triggers, and you shift between drive and reverse using buttons.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when you run into stuff, nothing happens.
Yes. Hyper-realistic.
I was just going to mention that, where you can slam into another car head first, and all that happens is that, like, your car stops for a second.
Yeah, you're just bouncing all over the place.
Yeah, and as Todd said, your passengers are not seatbelted in or anything like that.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about this game is that your passengers, as you're cruising through the city, their heads are all flopping around in your back seat. It's fun to watch their heads flop around as you take turns and do jumps.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So much whiplash in these passengers.
But they love it.
Yeah.
They freaking love it.
Yeah, the controls for this one just feel a little loose, like, in general. You press the control pad to the left a little bit, and your car shoots to the left. It just feels very loose.
That sounds tight. It sounds like the controls are tight.
Well, it's one or the other, but not both.
Right.
So choose whatever board you prefer.
Another thing about this game is that there are sponsored locations you drop off people to, such as
a
KFC. You can take them to a Pizza Hut. You can take
Pizza's
them to a Fila store for them to buy some shoes and apparel.
There's a Levi's store.
Yes, Levi's.
Yes. And also like a church. Like, you can...
Well...
You're driving priests around in this game, which seems odd, but... You know,
I don't know if there's any branded churches. I guess, like, Justin Bieber's church.
Oh, I'm in Houston now. There are branded churches all over the place down here.
Did you see how much the Mormons invested in the development of this game?
I don't know if a liberal city like San Fran's the Frisco is going to have any big mega churches to go to.
Well, no, I mean, what's true. Hey, look at the name
the,
of the city.
The name
of the
city. Coast.
The name of the city is Saints Francis.
Not in English.
That is a Catholic heavy city. Like everybody, if you live in San Francisco, more likely than not, 99.99% chance, you're a Catholic, and there's no denying it. You are a Catholic. Sorry. You know, don't write your angry you emails live, to me. You are a Catholic. Within, sorry.
Within 100 miles of the city, I think.
Yeah. They just give you a cross and some rosary beads when you make your way out of the delivery room.
Mm-hmm. Swinging their incenses all over the place.
Yeah, just put it right in your palm as you come shooting out that chute. So
they use it to catch
shoot out the chute.
Yeah. The no, chute. No, I mean that. Yeah, the chute. That's what doctors call it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a YPB fact, Yule. So just touch on where the series is now, just because I mentioned half of it already. Crazy Taxi was one of the best sellers for the Dreamcast. It sold 750,000 copies in 2000, and sales exceeded 1 million for the lifespan of the system. It was also ported to PlayStation 2 and other platforms once Sega got out of the hardware business. As I mentioned, there were several sequels that kept the same formula, although they didn't hit the sales heights of the original. So, I don't know. This seems like one of those series that, like, 2 or 3 years from now, we'll hear, hey, they're making a new Crazy Taxi. And it'll do okay, and we'll never think about it again. So, yep. I don't know. This, you know, I enjoyed this game, but you know, I played it for about half an hour, and then I was like, you know, this music is starting to get on me a little bit, just because it's constantly cycling through like
extremely
the same
extremely repetitive.
Yeah, the same 3 or 4 Offspring songs.
Which makes sense in the arcade, because you know, you're popping in for 5 or 10 minutes and you're on your way, but mm-hmm. playing it at home, you're like, I'm cool with the Offspring, but now I hate them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, there they are. And I don't know, it's fun, but it also feels slight. I do remember this was one of, like, my sister would play games every once in a while, and this is one she liked to borrow, because it was pretty easy to just pop on the old system and play. So
this is a fun one. I don't want to spoil anything, but it's a fun one just to pop on and cruise around for a round or two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's also one of those fun, like, trade-off with your friends kind of games.
Yeah.
This is not multiplayer.
You're having a party, a house party, and you just leave a Dreamcast set up in the corner.
Sophisticated party, yeah.
Yeah, just leave a Dreamcast set up in the corner with Crazy Taxi on it. Somebody's going to be there at any point in the evening. Somebody would have picked up the control and cruised around a little bit.
Yeah, like a, hey, beat my high score kind of thing, take mm-hmm. turns or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So... yeah, and I don't know. I didn't have that much more to add about this one. It's, you know, it's if you want it, you can get it pretty cheap.
Yeah, and it's all over the place, like even on phones now. So,
yeah,
this $5, $10. I mean, the reason why we are covering it in Sega's The Dream Timber is because this is an iconic Dreamcast game. It was an arcade game, but it was ported to multiple systems at the time. But Dreamcast seems to be where people know this game from. This is definitely where I put the most time in, is on the Dreamcast.
Todd, would you say that this is a game that some people love?
I would say it's a game some people like.
Well,
it's no Final Fantasy starring Cloud, Strife, and Sephiroth. That is a game people love.
Those would be good picks for, like, if somebody did, like, an RPG character draft. They would be like first or second round picks, those two guys. But I was just thinking, like, maybe some people would think that this is one of the best games of all time.
Oh, some people, hey, that's a nice segue. Some people do think that Crazy Taxi is the most best game of all time.
To get there.
Now, I have two reasons why Dreamcast Crazy Taxi is the most best game of all time. First one is titled Super Fun, but probably for an older audience. And that's by Renee in December of 2000, the year 2000.
An older audience.
Mm-hmm. And Renee wrote, this is kind of a long one, so I'm going to run out of breath. just giving you a warning. Renee wrote, ever wanted to drive 90 miles an hour through traffic? Now you can. Crazy Taxi is a hilarious, fast-paced, extremely fun driving game. The scenario is perfect and guaranteed to create suspense and to cause big laughs. For example, there are a series of challenge games that pit you against a course or a set of obstacles. My children laugh uproariously when I miss a jump and fall down into the depths of the ocean. Unlike a race game where you are stuck to the course, this game lets you drive on roofs, through train tunnels, and even under the water. There's a sort of guilty joy that comes with driving through the mall in the wake of screaming pedestrians. This last bit of fun is part of the reason that I don't recommend the game for children, and why it is rated teen. This game does not model thoughtful, defensive driving. Parents should know that some of the characters use mild curse words and say, quote, unsupportive things. Also, the F word can be heard on the soundtrack in at least one of the songs, and I'm sure your child would hear the song enough times to start to be able to pick out the words. You can turn off the music and the game is just as fun. I think the hard driving music does add an appropriate element of crazy to Crazy Taxi. I recommend Crazy Taxi very highly. 5 stars.
Oh. Wow.
It's always weird when it's an actual review.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it was relatively well written compared to every other review on the internet, but you know, just the, like, this is not a game for kids to play is weird.
Wasn't it a review of her kids playing it?
Her kids love to watch her play it.
Oh.
Or him. I mean, this is Renee. It could be from Quebec, Canada, where true. Renee is a true. Man's name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Renee is one of those two-way names.
One of those double enders. I didn't even notice the
F word in any of the songs.
Well, if you listen to those songs enough, you might hear the F word.
Okay.
All right, the next one.
All right, go ahead.
Is titled "You Have One Crazy Game," and it's written by ATHF Fan, which I can only assume is Aqua Teen Hunger Force Fan. ATHF Fan in October of 2000, the year 2000. Wrote,
wow.
Every once in a while, one of those games comes along that is an instant classic. There's Sonic 2. There's Donkey Kong Country. There's NFL Bits. There's Super Mario Brothers DX. There's Donkey Kong 64. And there's Crazy Taxi. Crazy Taxi is the
big
most
Donkey
fun.
Donkey Kong fan.
Yeah, Donkey Kong Country. And 64.
Yeah.
Crazy Taxi is the most fun I've had since I started gaming in 92. It is also the best game since Sonic 2. If you have a Dreamcast and do not have Crazy Taxi, I worry about you. Get this game. If you think it is bad, then you are stupid. 5 stars!
Wow.
Best game since Sonic 2.
Haven't heard of that one.
Sonic 2 is what, like 96?
I think it was about 94, I believe.
Yeah, Sonic 2 was right on the heels of that first game.
Yeah, maybe 93. It might even be a 92-93 joint.
Yeah. With all of their series, they did the opposite of most Nintendo
92.
Series.
November 21st, 1992.
Yeah. When did Sonic 1 come out? 1991.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to think here. Between 92 and 2000, that eight-year span, no better game than Crazy Taxi was released, is what they're trying to say.
Well, they listed a couple. Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah, but they're saying Sonic 2 is the best.
No, but they said, yeah, since Sonic 2, no better game than Crazy Taxi was made.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So, like, the golden years of the N64 mean nothing to this person.
Super Mario 64? Crap.
Yeah.
Finals The Fantasy 7? Crap.
And 8.
And 8.
Not that I'm a fan, but...
yeah, that's...
It was a game that people played.
Suikoden, a game that makes people cry? Crap.
Shinmoody. Yeah. all those Shamu- great
Shamu
on the
might
Sega.
Be after this one.
Yeah, yeah, Shamui is after. All those great games on the Saturn that we're going to get
Dragon.
To someday.
Crap.
So, oof. Was that your last most best?
Yeah, I just had two. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I actually
Todd, did you play this a lot as a kid? Or
I would say I put in a fair amount of time.
Okay, just wondering.
Yeah, he served time as a hack. He was getting people to and from KFC. I actually this week do not have a 1-star Yelp review. I have a 5-star Yelp review. And it's of Silverball City, which carries Crazy Taxi. This one is from Tina. And she writes, games all worked well. Can't beat the price to turn the kids loose as long as they like. And that's it. So, 5-star.
What a crazy tuna?
Is this an arcade?
Silverball City. So,
Silverball.
What the hell was I listening to? I was distracted. I'm sorry.
It is, as Huel would not be a fan of, it's Silverball in reference to pinball, I believe, which is not arcade. It's not...
What?
An arcade game. It's not.
I never
video
said
game.
I wasn't a fan.
Okay. Said not you video. Just don't. Yeah, you just don't like if they're called video games.
They're not games on video. They're games on physical.
Yeah.
Things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're games on an inclined yes. physical yeah. platform.
It's like calling chess a video game.
That is true. So yeah, just that one. Apparently, you pay $10 and you get all you can play pinball and arcade games.
Holy sounds like a deal. Hey, if they got Crazy Taxi, sounds like a deal. Mm-hmm. Hey, if it's anything like my local joints that are pinball, also pinball places, that does not include pinball machines. They do not include pinballs on their unlimited play, which is a ripoff. You know, if they did include
really?
Pinballs in their unlimited plays, then I would go there every single time.
Yeah, that seems bizarre. Like that they would.
Well, then
do...
you would just never stop, right?
Well, I mean, they kick you out at the end of the... Hey,
you'd have
the
to
thing. Like,
spend
if you're,
the rest of your life there.
If you're a modern joint, one of these modern joints, you also serve alcoholic beverages, and people spend money on those. And I would definitely spend money on those. Also food. You know, there's other things. They have other things such as, like, of course, it's not going to get you free entry into the laser tag. You'd have to pay extra for that. But, you know, toss a little pinball in there. I'd gladly go and pay your $10.
Well, all you need to do is move out to Johnson City, Tennessee, and you can check this place out.
Time to pack my bags.
Yeah. No, that sucks, Todd. I mean, I don't like Dave and Buster's that much because I feel like Dave and Buster's is a little too overpriced.
It is. But hey guys,
I like them barcades.
Breaking news from my own laziness and not scrolling down. I have a third reason why this game is the most best of all time.
Oh.
Unprecedented.
I should have scrolled down in my notes. All right, this one. This one is titled "This Game Is Awesome," and it's by an anonymous reviewer. In June of 2001,
okay.
And the anonymous reviewer wrote, "This game is cool. You are a cab driver who tries his hardest, in which he tries so hard, he crashes to get where he needs to go. And it is hard to explain. It is just a cool game. Trust me, you'll like it. 5 stars.
I feel like they explained it pretty well.
Yeah, I didn't think this was an especially hard game to explain.
They got it. They nailed it, I think.
Yeah. You know, it's not like trying to explain the plot of Xenogears, which you've played before.
Xenogears?
Yes. Xenu's the Gears. So, Huel, did you get a chance to look at a manual for this one? I feel like this one might have some sass.
Well, don't want to disappoint you, but I found a manual.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a severe lack of sass
what?
In this manual. This is very similar to last week's Ready to Rumble, where oh, the game is dripping with sass, but the manual is not.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So, I mean, they go through the controls, they go through some of the maneuvers you can do, just like the really simple, mm-hmm. straightforward stuff a manual tells you, like in the game, like mm-hmm. the different icons, what the different colors mean of the money symbol above their heads, how to get more points, or money, I guess I should say. There's a few mini games we didn't really touch on, but who cares? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, they do get into the profiles of the cabbies. So the aforementioned custom license plates for each one. So Axel says, "I know miss," which means, so they have to explain the meaning, which is, "I don't make mistakes." And this is spelled out with like numbers and letters. Gina is sexy sis, meaning, you know what it means. BD Joe is too hop to go, which means always ready to get crazy. And then Gus is only 777, meaning only aim for the big jackpot.
Oh, so
these are fun little glimpses into their personalities, along with like very detailed and unnecessarily long bios. I also get into some of the customers, and this is where the stereotypes of the 90s and early 2000s really shine, much like last week's game. We have like an Asian tourist who's taking pictures, like that kind of thing. Really appropriate stuff. And a very large credit section for just the manual.
Oh.
Like just the manual credit. Yeah. So there's like a Sega department, Sega of America department, a Sega of Japan department, a marketing department, and then special thanks. So like a lot of different names went into this manual, and unfortunately they didn't. It's maybe too many cooks here, but I mean it's a little like the bios at the end kind of save it, but it's another kind of straight down the middle at 3 out of 5 Mario 2s.
Oh, respectable.
Right. It does what it needs to, but the lack of sass is once again disappointing.
Yeah. Maybe I feel like now we've had it 2 weeks in a row. Maybe they just figure, oh, there's so much sass in this game. We got to play the manual straight.
I mean, I don't know what Dreamcast is up to, but their manual run has been just average at best.
That's disappointing. Maybe it's part of why the system didn't catch on after all.
It's got to be the real reason.
Yeah. Well, I have a ranking system, and it's called the Herzog's The Hierarchy. And this week, Crazy Taxi coming in at Herzog 8.
Oh, wow.
Well, I feel like a lot of these rankings, I kind of go more for peak value, peak fun. And yeah, this is only fun for like 20 minutes, but it
has a high peak
fun
there, yeah.
To play. Yeah. Although I will admit, after reading about how the Simpsons game just rips this one off, it kind of made me want to go check out that Simpsons game.
Yeah, I never played that one. I've always heard that is the best Simpsons game. I've not played it, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because now that I think about it, I'm like, oh, would this game be better just driving around Springfield playing as the Samsons? And yeah, it seems like that would be
picking up the characters on the show and delivering Reverend Lovejoy to his church.
Yes. The only problem is I cannot play it for the show, so I will have to circle back to it in my free time. So, Todd, did you get a chance to rate this on a scale?
I did. My rating is the DuckTale scale, which has two primary factors. Primary factor number one is nostalgia. How much nostalgia do I personally, not you, Sorry, listener, not you. How much do I have for this game? Primary factor number two is replayability. Would I pop this bad boy in these bad boy troubling times? Let me see here. Nostalgia. Pretty good nostalgia. I did play this a lot in the arcade, and I played it a lot on my Dreamcast. Hey, gotta admit, played it on my Dreamcast a lot. So pretty good nostalgia. I didn't miss out on this wild ride. Replayability. As we've been saying, this has a high peak, but you fall off fast, and you're like, hey, why? If you play it for more than 30 minutes, you got to throw it in the trash. But come back a year later, you're ready to go again. It's one of those games you pop it in every once in a while, and you feel good running around the city picking up passengers. So I'd say replayability for an arcade driver game is pretty good. Pretty good. I like the aesthetic a lot. It's not too hyper realistic that it's uncomfortable. It's not in that uncanny valley. It is cartoonish in its presentation. Factoring in those two primary factors, I would put Crazy Taxi in with a point. Let me see here. Factor in Avogadro's little number there, and it's going to come in at a 0.45 DuckTales.
So close.
Oh, I was 0.47.
Wow. Ooh.
Ooh.
Yikes.
Yeah, that was...
That's about half.
That was like your Jordan flu game right there, Huel.
Basically, you were, yeah.
You're not feeling good today, and you almost nailed it, right? Right in the butt.
Uh-huh.
So
the button.
That button.
One of my closer ones.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since it's right. I mean, it's right up the middle of that bell, so it's even more respectable that you got so close.
Yep, right at the middle.
Mm. Well, Todd, was there anything else you want to add about this one before we move on?
I think I'm pretty much covered. I mean, this is a fun game. I mean, most people have played this at some point in their lives, and if you're listening to this episode to this point, you probably have played it. And if you haven't, I would say, there might be an arcade near you. You can pop in a quarter or two. I would say give it a shot. It's a fun game. It is a fun game.
Yeah, it's a fun romp. Huel, how about you?
We did not touch on one of the worst and most annoying voiceover dudes in the game.
Oh, yes.
Probably for the best that we didn't talk about him, but horrible. Terrible.
Yeah. He's talking like this. Yep. I saw it compared to just a bad Wolfman Jack imitation.
Yeah. Or was it Stryker? Is he the other guy that... Or am I thinking of... one of the sports guys talks like that all the time?
Oh, Stryker's the guy from Loveline.
I remember not him.
Him being awful, too, but...
Yeah, but he didn't put on voice like, hey, yeah, it's a Wolfman.
Yeah, there was some sports radio dude that did that like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I forget.
Papadakos, that guy?
No.
Not
Petros.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I was kind of saying, I normally like it. Fine. Yeah, the announcer is definitely a negative versus like... they should just get the guy from NBA Jam.
That or Michael Buffer again.
Do a 2-for-1?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, either one of those would have been an improvement.
He's on retainer at Sega.
Mm-hmm. It's frankly just weird that they have an announcer guy, considering that they have a bunch of music in this game.
Like, true, but... I mean, realize that this was an arcade game, and they had to have the... It's called the Attractor. And when you hear that guy announcing, hey, really? Come over, pop a quarter in, drive around, that's for announcing for the arcade.
Yeah, right? I guess that makes sense. But that would just make me not want to play it, just the way he talks. Mm. Yeah. Like, I'm not giving this quarters.
Yeah, this guy's just going to spend it at the club on some ladies of the night.
What?
Well, I only had one more note.
At the club?
Yeah. Yeah. At the strip joint. That's where that guy's going. I only had one more note. The Simpsons game, $41 million it made, which seems ridiculous. Like, that it made that much money. But good for it. So we should move along. Todd, I understand that there's a voicemail this week.
We do have a voicemail. Let me let me cue it up here. Give me a second to get ready. And here we go. Here is a voicemail.
Hi, guys. It's me, your number one fan, Teller, from the hit magic duo, Penn and Teller. I just wanted to congratulate you on 75 episodes, and I had a question for you. What's the weirdest IP that you would want to make a game out of? Personally, I've been pitching my idea for Saved by the Bell RPG for years in Holland Weird, but never had much traction. Anyways, time to do the magic. Bye!
Ooh. The famously silent Teller.
Wow!
I mean, after hearing his voice, I understand why.
I mean, there's nothing that I could compare it to see if it was actually him. I mean, it must have been him. Yeah, it's the only explanation. Wow.
Yeah. A Saved by the Bell RPG. I kind of like that combination just because it's so random.
I think I'd rather. Yeah. I don't know if I could top that one, Teller. What's his first name?
Chin. I don't know. What's his first name?
Bank.
I believe it is just Teller. He's like Cher.
Oh. Oh, Teller McKenzie.
You know, he sounded kind of like Fred Schneider of the B-52s.
With a little Alfred Chicken mixed in.
A little Alfred Chicken. Oh. Hang on.
Bye.
Help me find my girlfriend.
I mean, he...
Bye!
See?
He did say he's a fan, although I can't remember if Alfred Chicken was in our first 75 shows or not.
There's no way of knowing.
I don't know. Who could even tell? I don't know.
Who could even find out? Weirdest IP? Was it weirdest IP? Craziest IP? Basically the same question.
Yeah, weirdest IP that you would like to see a game made out of.
Huh.
So
that we would like to see a game made out of. Not just the weirdest IP. What would we like to see?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what he asked. So.
Boy.
So I have one, and it is just a Matlock Ace Attorney game. I like me my old crappy detective shows.
Matlock.
I do enjoy. I like a Matlock. I like a Columbo. But... yeah, just imagine that one. Like that's a banger. Kids are gonna be buying that.
I could hear a MIDI cover of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, if they did it in 8-bit style, that's even better. But
only 8.
Yes, only 8 bits. What about you guys? Did you have anything come to mind?
Jeez.
This is a toughie.
Well, I realize you guys don't think about steaming hot IP as much as I do. So
I mean, it's hard to say IP wise.
Because everything remotely everything either has already been
either already been made, yeah, or shouldn't be made.
Right. Here we go.
What about?
How about? I want to see a point and click adventure game set in the Troll 2 universe, starring the same actors that were in the movie.
Okay.
Starring the friends Jennifer Aniston.
No, that
she was Leprechaun.
No, that's Leprechaun. Is that Leprechaun in the Hood, right?
One of them. Or maybe the first one.
Maybe the first one. She was in the first one. But Troll 2 is no. It's just a notoriously bad horror movie. Mm-hmm. The best worst movie is its title.
Yeah. I kind of like that idea. Kind of like Damashek's idea that they should only remake bad movies instead of good movies.
I love that idea. Like, if it's good, if a movie's good, just leave it. It's good. Just watch that good movie. Remake the bad movies and make them watchable.
Mm-hmm. Well,
how about like a Barry stealth game?
Oh, that would be good.
Like Hitman, only with starring Bill Hader.
And you have what, like mini games where you have to act out scenes on the stage?
Yeah, exactly. Like a rhythm game or something. Or you have to pick the right dialogue options to complete the scene.
Mm-hmm.
It earns you XP to upgrade your stealth abilities.
Have you watched I watched the first season. I loved it. I just have not watched the second due to other show obligations. But second season, good?
Excellent.
Sweet. That's coming highly up in recommended. My queue.
HBO's my queue. The Barry.
Yeah, you mentioning that made me think of, hey, has Tarantino, any of his stuff been made in the games? And I think it's
probably not.
Just Reservoir Dogs, which is notorious for not... Yeah, it's they actually mentioned it on the Rewatchables podcast, because I want to make sure I properly cite here that there's a video game and it is not good. So
it feels like there would have been something like a Kill Bill, 2D quick little web license game, but all I can
if
find
anyone,
is,
if anything,
is Reservoir
it would
Dogs.
It would be Kill Bill. Yeah.
All I can find is Reservoir Dogs, which is a game that does not have good reviews. And also, I'm searching for Tarantino plus video game, and all I can find is Tarantino is not interested in video games. That's all I can find.
Yeah, it didn't seem like he is. Also, like, of all of his films, like, doing a Reservoir Dogs game seems like an odd choice.
It's like a strategy, like a top-down strategy game where you're controlling multiple misters at a time. Mr. Colors at a time.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, it just seems like an odd choice considering how that movie wraps up. But, we should move along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you get any mails?
Well, I did get a mail, but we're starting to run long, fellas.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to skip my email this week.
Oh, well, that's very noble of you. Huel, did you get any mails?
One sec, sorry. Okay, yes, I did get an email. It says, "Dear YPB, your podcast is wonderful. I finally wanted to write in after listening to so many great episodes. You've brought me so much joy that I wanted to give back to you. I'm going to send each of you a few cases of our company's patented cotton candy grapes. They're a delicious treat that everyone loves. I can't think of three people better suited for this gift. Just reply back and let me know where to send them." And that is from Jack Pandol, CEO of Grapery.
Oh.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
Grapery.
Big fan that wants to give back to all
now,
of the
have, have you gentle boys ever had these cotton candy grapes?
Oh, yeah. I've had them.
I actually have not.
I also have had them as well.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
But, what better way than to get them sent to us for free?
Yeah. I can't really call him friend of the show because he's mostly just...
No, he's friend of the host. He's not friend of the show.
No.
Definitely not friend of the show.
You cannot be friend of the show if you haven't been on the show.
Haven't been on... Or if you even have not listened to the show.
I didn't mean the CEO. I meant friend of me, Germany or Florida.
Yeah, friend of the host.
No, that's who we meant.
That's who we're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah. Has not been on the show. Cannot be friend of...
Yeah, he twisted my arm a couple years ago, and he was all he is very into that. Like he needs to be the president of the cotton candy grape lobby.
Well, unfortunately, he's not appeared on the podcast, so he will not be receiving free grapes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've had them before. They're fine. Like, I like them.
I mean, here's my take is that, hey, I prefer a regular old grape. That's my take, my hot take. It's a little too sweet and funny tasting. It doesn't taste natural. I know it is natural.
I prefer a fresh grape, not an old one, but I see what you mean.
Yeah, I know it is a natural grape, but the taste just tastes abnormal.
Well, yeah. It's against God.
I'm also with you because a pound of cotton candy grapes is like $4 or $5. Like if I want cotton candy, like you can just get like a small thing of it for like a buck or two.
It's a treat. It's not an everyday snack.
Yes.
Being a person who's never had them. That's a comment on.
I will say, like the real ripoff are those Moondrop grapes. Those ones. Have you seen those?
I don't know what they are.
The Moondrop grapes are weird. They're like ovals that are like imagine if you lined up like three normal size grapes like next to each other. So it was like, you know.
Oh, the super long ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen them. Yeah. I do not want to have
them. They look like eggplants.
Yeah, they look like little poops.
you said it before I could.
Yeah. I don't want
those. They
actually it's called scat.
Oh.
Well, whatever, because they taste the same as regular grapes, but they're double the price. So I don't understand why. Except like
they're
the novelty.
Super long, dude.
Yeah. Well, I guess I don't.
They take longer to grow.
Yeah, I don't keep growing. I don't understand like why you would want to buy them except for the novelty of it.
Yeah.
So
it's a treat. Mm. Well, apparently also made by Grapery, the cotton candy grape originator.
And you know what? They're playing God with these grapes.
Are they located on the island of Dr. Moreau?
I think so. Should see their website.
Well, I mean, they're not slicing the grapes with animals yet.
Yeah. Who knows what the hell's going on in those labs?
Yeah, it's gonna be. I don't know. Maybe they got a secret lab where they're keeping those Fruit of the Loom bastards. So, Todd, did you get an ask this week?
Oh boy, hey fellas, we're going long.
Hey, fellas.
Let me be honest. Fellas. We're going long this week. Mm-hmm. I'm going to save our ask until next time.
if we have to be honest.
Yeah. Yes. Hold on to your ask.
People look at these episodes and it has an hour, 20-minute runtime on it, and they're like, delete. They don't even put their ear on it.
They're like, cancel. So, all right. Well, Huel, was there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
If this time limit reaches zero before reaching the destination, the customer will jump out of the taxi without paying their fare.
Ooh, sounds dangerous.
Oh, yeah. They do it, and they just run into the middle of the street. It's great. Yeah. like everything else in this game.
Yeah. So they run out of time, meaning it'll take them longer to get their destination if they leap out of the taxi.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a lot of sense.
And that's how taxis work. If they're running late and like you decide you don't want to like stay in them, you just jump out and you don't pay.
Yeah, I'm late. I'm going to walk now.
Yeah, they're cool with that. So
makes a lot of sense.
Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to leave you guys with a quote from the priest. As soon as you drive him to his church in Crazy Taxi, he says, "You're one hell of a driver."
Oh, my God.
That seems a little flippant from him, a man of God. But,
thanks.
Yeah. Well, on that note, here is two snifferoos from next week's game.
A double ender. Here we go.
Choo-choo rocket, do nezumi o tasukero. Choo-choo rocket, do neko wa kowai. Choo-choo rocket, do sugoi. Zubababa!
Double touchdown, Kazuru! up your game. It's good. Dream glass.
Oh, my God.
Here's the next one.